Miracles Radio with myself, Julia Syracusa, and Philip Syracusa. We are broadcasting live from the United Paranormal Radio Network on 107.7 FM and 105.3 FM from New Orleans. This evening's show is sponsored by Carnation, so we want to thank them for their sponsorship. We will have to do a few things in order to participate. Go over to the YouTube channel, UFO Paranormal Radio, and get into chat. Subscribe if you haven't. You can go into all the United Public Radio Facebook stations, Twitch, SoundCloud, and Podbeam. I can only respond to your comments on our YouTube channel on UFO Paranormal Radio. And if you have any questions for our guests, please ask. And you can also go over to the UFO Undercover with Joe Montaldo on Facebook as well. So tonight we have an amazing guest. So I want to welcome Ms. Gwen Clapper to the show. In 2014, Gwen founded her paranormal team, Beyond Perception Investigators. A short time later, she met her business partner, Vanessa Hogel. Together, they would start Perfect Trust Productions, LLC. They have traveled to Ireland on a no-budget filming Hidden Gems Ireland, which would be their first docuseries release on YouTube. Plans are underway for filming in Scotland in the fall of 2021. Gwen is also working on her first book, a power biography titled Embracing My Strange, and it will be released on Amazon in October 2021. Gwen is also our consultant for Threefold Paranormal, and she makes all of our banners for this show. You can find all of her work on perfecttrustproductions.com. So please welcome Gwen to the show.
Welcome, Gwen.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
Good, good. It's been a while since we had you on.
Yes.
The previous network. So, just for the new audience, if you could just bring people a little bit backwards, how did you get involved with paranormal and that good stuff?
Well, I was actually kind of thrown in it. I have memories of having paranormal encounters since at least back to I was like at least age four or 5 years old. It started off with what I thought was a childhood friend, and only found out later on that this was a friend, but not of this realm. And it was interesting how that was found out. And there's going to be more detail about that in my book, Embracing My Strange. But I will say it was very unusual, and my father was actually the one that discovered that I was playing with a dead boy, basically.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
you know, so that's interesting that you say that, because a lot of guests that we have on, including myself, throughout adolescence, people would say imaginary friend, but obviously, looking back, it was a ghost. It's funny how this starts out. And a lot of people, I would say 90% of the people we've had on over the last 2 years have said the same thing. As a child, I've seen, you know, whether it was imaginary friend that turned to be something else, right, down the road.
Yeah. And, absolutely. I believe
that's like, you know, you're like a lighthouse in a way, right?
Yes. I strongly believe, and it's been long believed, but I've always believed that children are like a beacon, because they're so innocent. They're not jaded. They don't have beliefs as we do as we grow older and become adults. They're not formed by outside influences or other experiences that they may have had in life that kind of makes them close down. So with them being so open and honest and so innocent, I think that's what's really attractive to the spirits. And a lot of the times what we think are their imaginary friends, not all the time, but I think most of the time may actually be something else.
That's funny, right?
It's really weird. We've had several clients, my team and I have had several clients, they'll contact me and they're like, well, my kid is talking to somebody, and I'll go in there and there's nobody there. And I'm like, well, you know, do they seem scared? And contrary to what you see a lot on TV, because let's face it, makes for good TV, you know, where the kid is scared and everything else. A lot of the times the child is not really afraid, mm-hmm. unless it's something that they really, well, of course, feel threatened by. But a lot of the times it's a child's openness and curiosity. And sometimes I wonder if they should be afraid, they wouldn't even know when to. And I think that's where some kids probably get mixed up with some attachments later on in life, and they don't even realize that, oh, this started with my imaginary friend. But because they didn't have any guidance and it wasn't identified, it opened them up to all sorts of other things out there in the spirit realm that's not so nice and maybe shouldn't be around your kid.
That's interesting.
It's really true.
And it's true. That kind of reminds me of when I was in, I was like 6, 7 years old, living on Staten Island, and I'm digging a hole in the backyard. And my father's gone. I just keep digging and digging. And my mom goes, come in. I was like, okay. So, and it was like a 3-foot, you know, it's pretty deep. And I just keep digging. So then I go to the stoop and I walk up, you know, and she goes, what are you doing? I was like, I'm digging the hole. My friend John, he wants me to keep digging. She goes, where is he? And I point. She goes, there's nobody there.
What did you say when she said there's nobody there?
I said, Mom, maybe he left.
Right?
To this day, there was no friend John that was digging a hole with me.
That's mm-hmm. wild. Crazy.
So, you know, it's, and to the listener out there, you know, anybody who's ever had any ghostly friends throughout the lessons, you know, feel free in chat to share that. But it's true, you know, and I believe like we're like a lighthouse.
Yes.
And then as you get older, so Gwen, take us now to another point of your life when maybe you seen an apparition, you felt something, heard something through the elder years.
Oh, well, now, before I hit my adulthood and my teen years, I was 16, and I came across a spirit at a battlefield named Andrew. That was actually just covered in the video that we just released yesterday.
Wow.
And all I knew was that his name was Andrew, and I saw him on this battlefield in a particular way, and it was just the way he was looking across the battlefield. I had jotted down in my diary when I was a teenager that it was just the way that he was standing there and just looking. It just, he looked like he could not believe what he was seeing around him. It was total destruction and loss. And this was one of the battles of during the Civil War. This happened at Sailor's Creek Battlefield in Prince Edward County, Virginia. And Sailor's Creek Battlefield, a lot of people don't realize, was actually the turning point before the surrender to Appomattox. Had it not been for that battle, things might have actually turned out differently. And and because decisions were made the way that they were made, rash decisions, it turned out the way it did. And I always thought he was Confederate. Of course, I couldn't make out his uniform that well. I saw pretty much, it was like a silhouette of him. Well, I tried to find out who he was. I tried. And it was very hard to locate who this Andrew was. Well, now fast forward to when we did the investigation at Sailor's Creek as an adult with BPI. My friend Vanessa Hogel, this before she became a member of the team, she was down there investigating with us, and she noticed that, you know, there was somebody near, and I made a comment, well, you know, it's Andrew. That's where he usually hangs out at. And I described how I saw him on the field when I was 16. When we got done filming about, I want to say it was about a month or so. I can't remember the exact date. I did some more digging. Of course, more research is at my fingertips by this point because of the internet. So I start digging through what's called the muster rolls and all that, trying to find who this Andrew was. And lo and behold, not only did I find out who he was, I found a letter that he had written that in his words described exactly the way I was describing how I saw him that day.
Oh, whoa.
And I about had a heart stroke, folks. I'm not even going to lie. I really did. And then I found out, interestingly enough, I was born and raised in Virginia. Been in Virginia my entire life. He was a Union soldier. He was actually an officer.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was like, wow, what made this Union officer reach out to a Virginia girl, you know? But it was a really somber moment to come across that letter, and we included that in the re-release of this episode. And
I shared that today, so if anyone wants to see it, they can go on my page. And yeah,
and I thank you for that, by the way. But yeah, but he it the way he described it in the letter, I showed the full letter, and then I showed the section of the letter where he was talking about how they were looking at all the dead as the sun was beating down upon them mercilessly, and how he felt, you know, just exhausted and lost. And, you know, throughout his letter, he's describing all these emotions exactly how I described him.
Wow.
That's fascinating. Do you think that, you know, when these visions or these sightings of people, especially in war, come through, would you say it's residual energy, or is it something where the spirit can come and go live in a way to show us the reenactment of how they crossed over?
I think it could actually be a mixture of both. My personal experience with battlefields, for example, is it's a lot of residual. Let's face it, there was a lot going on there, a lot of emotions, high charged emotions, even with these troops. For example, Union and Confederate during Battle Sailor's Creek, it was towards the end of the Civil War. These guys on both sides were just worn slap out. They were done. They were just exhausted. They were tired of fighting, but they pressed on. And you take that immense energy that they had to have felt, because it was a 3-day engagement that happened on and around that property. It was unknown total of Union captured, killed, and missing. Captured, killed, and missing Confederate in 3 days was 7,700.
Wow.
That's a lot of death in one area.
Sad.
It's very sad, you know, and a lot of these men were young, very young men. I mean, we're talking 16, 17, you know, maybe 21, 22.
Wow. Yeah. Because back then,
you know,
really young.
Right. And so I think it could be a mixture of both. But my personal experience is a lot of residual, and it's like they just... And with residual, it's like they don't realize you're there. Most of my experience has been residual, but that one particular with Andrew, I don't think he was trying to show me the way he passed, but I think he was trying to show me a very, a certain time during these battles, in that particular one, where he was probably emotionally, physically, and mentally done. That was the most pivotal point for him. And I think that's what he carried over with him, and that's why he chose to show me that. And for me to say the way I described the way I saw him, to document it, and then to find confirmation, it's like he got his story out.
I think that's what it sounds like.
You know, I feel like that was the purpose of that, because my buddy on BPI, Loper, and I actually went back to Sailor's Creek about 5 or 6 months ago, if it was that far back. Went back to go take pictures. I love going there. I've been going there since I was a teenager. And there were two trees that you see in the video that are above the rocks where I caught the EVP of Andrew. I actually caught him. I caught a voice of his because he answered me directly.
Wow.
And yeah, that blew my mind. You can tell by my expression. It blew my mind. The two trees that have been there for years and years and years were gone. Don't know if a storm took them out and they had to cut them down or what. Every time when I would roll up on this property, I would always feel Andrew. Well, this time when we rolled up, I get out the car and I'm looking around and my buddy Loper, he's like, what's wrong? And I'm just frantically running towards that spot that I know Andrew is always at. And I'm calling to him. I'm like, Andrew, Andrew. I could not hear him. I could not feel him. I could not see him. The wind, there was no wind. The perfectly still. It was a very, very odd feeling that I've never felt there before. I fell to my knees and started crying. Oh. And Loper was like kind of freaking out. He's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? You know? And bless him. And I said, he's gone. Andrew's gone.
Oh.
And I felt kind of selfish because I always knew he'd be there. You know, I could always go there and just, you know, chat it up with Andrew. But now he's not there. And I was like, I didn't get to say goodbye. How could he leave? Like, it was like I knew him personally. It was like, how could he leave and this, that, and the other. And we got to thinking about it. The episode that we did, we got his message out. Maybe there was no need for him to hang around anymore.
That's true.
Well, maybe once the story was out and the truth be told, the spirit can move on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the way I'm taking it. And it makes me happy that he can move on. But at the same way, and I know it's selfish. I know it is. But at the same time, I'm like, but I want him back. Bring him back, you know. But it was time for him to move on. And if we actually had anything to do with that, I don't know. I can't say that we can take credit for it, but I would like to think that maybe we helped.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, I would definitely think so. You know, some of our guests believe that the soul exists in multiple dimensions simultaneously. In fact, there's a lot of belief on this where, okay, so you cross over, you leave the physical, but the soul is in multiple places, multiple dimensions.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that, Gwen?
I'd say why not? I mean, with what I've seen, with what I've experienced, anything is possible. I firmly believe that if there is nothing, because many people believe if somebody has unfinished business, they hang back until that business is taken care of, whatever the business may be. And that might be true for some spirits. Some spirits may not have any business that holds them back, but they come and go as they wish. For example, you may have a loved one that passed away, let's say a grandparent or great-grandparent. They didn't have anything to really hold them back, but once in a while, when you need them the most, you can feel them there. You know they are there. You know, it's like we talk about, you know, when we speak with our ancestors, to me, it's the same principle. They know when we need them. And so they come and go as they choose.
Yeah.
And one day, maybe they won't be there anymore because maybe you've hit a mark in your growth that they felt you're fine. You don't need me. You have this. And it's scary. But it's okay, because if you had that same one hanging around helping you out every time and you've gotten stronger and stronger and all of a sudden they're gone, they didn't abandon you because they will be there when you need them most. But they're like, you can figure this out. You've got this.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's a great way of putting it. Definitely.
Like my dad is a perfect example. When he first passed, I used to see him and feel him around me all the time. I still do, but it's usually when I'm high stressed, when something really bad is going on, or interestingly enough, when something bad is about to happen. It's like he tries to warn me.
When you say you see him, is it through the mind's eye or through the visual?
It's through the mind's eye. It's through the mind's eye. It's like I can see him. It's interesting when I see any spirit, they look, I don't see them as sharply and as clearly as most others may. To me, I see them as, they're almost like a big bubble, but they have the shape of the person. I can't always make out their features. So sometimes I have to try to connect with them a little bit harder to try to figure out their features. But it's like they're translucent. I can see through them, but I don't see any features. And that's the way I see them. But I can tell when it's a loved one or somebody that I knew, because they will usually show me like my dad's eyes. I have my dad's eyes. So when I see the eyes, I know it's him. Mm-hmm. When I smell cherry tobacco, he didn't smoke later in years, but he did when I was a child. When I smell cherry tobacco, I know it's my dad.
That's amazing. So there goes the multiple dimension. And that's what I was trying to get at before, is that
right.
The cherry tobacco does not exist within the physical realm of the impossibilities, but it exists on their side, their dimension. They're able, you know, Brian, I mean, I always go back to this one movie that rings so much truth. Again, it's a fictional movie, The Others.
Nicole Kidman.
Yes. An incredible movie, because there's so much content of truth to that movie. They didn't know they were the ones that were crossed over.
We always say, like, what if that's our life?
So,
right.
What I'm trying to get at is, you know, again, whether people liked her or not, Sylvia Brown, she did have, again, it's the question mark, but that's right. Anybody's belief of, you know, how she did her work. But one of the things that she said to me that rang true were, it's like we're inside of the balloon and the spirit world is on the outside of the balloon and they can come through into our side. So then again, people do have out-of-body experiences where they can cross over to the other dimension. Gwen, have you ever had that, an out-of-body experience?
Jeez.
Well, we dropped the patient off. We end up having to leave because we end up getting another call. So we never knew the outcome. Well, 3 days later, we go to drop another patient off. I go real quick to go peek in on another friend's family member that was in the hospital. Told him I'd go and peek in on him. I'm coming back down the hallway to get back to the ER. The man's wife is standing outside of the unit, the ICU. And she says, "There you are." And I just looked at her and I was like, I'm sorry. She grabs my hand, pulls me inside. Of course, all the nurses knew me, so you know, they let me in. He is sitting up eating his lunch.
Wow.
I just have this look on my face, and he looked at me, he goes, "Well, you look like you've seen a ghost," and starts laughing, and I'm like, "Close enough."
Wow. That's
I said,
crazy.
I was like, but the crazy part was, he said, "I want to give you a hug." He kept calling me his angel. And I was like, "Oh, okay." And I looked at him. I was like, how did you weren't even breathing when we got, but we put you on the truck." And he goes, "Yeah." He said, "You know those doors on the back of your ambulance with the windows?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "My back was to those windows and I was watching everything you did." He said, "You were the one pressing on my chest." He said, one of the other girls said something about need to go ahead and just call it. And you looked at her and you said, "You keep calling for help. I'm not stopping." It was word for word what I had said.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. He had an out of body experience. So when I go back in the ER, my partner looks at me and says the same thing. "You look like you've seen a ghost." I'm like, just get our stretcher, get our stuff. Let's go. I'm done for the day. No, I'm done.
Oh my goodness.
No. That's amazing, right?
That's crazy. And like you said, you were an EMT and then you became a police officer and then you were a firefighter and then you worked for a medical examiner. Now,
yes.
were these jobs challenging for you, having the gifts that you have?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was able to suppress a lot of stuff for a while, but I learned the hard way that that's not a good thing to do, especially when you're in that type of work, because you are surrounded around so much trauma and death and emotion. And there were some calls. I've actually freaked some of my partners out. We got in the truck one morning and I made the comment. I was like, it was like a difficulty breathing. Patient is alert and oriented. Blah, 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 blah. We get in the truck and I looked over at my partner. I said, "We going to work a code." And he just looked at me. And he was like, "No, they said it." I was like, "I don't care what they're saying." I said, "I'm telling you, we're going to work a code." And we got about 2 miles from the driveway. And our dispatch called to our medic unit and said, "Be advised, code blue, CPR in progress."
Oh, my goodness.
And I just looked over at my partner. He looked at me and I was like, "Keep your eyes on the road. High fly. Goodbyes the gears. Let's go."
I love when you talk like that.
But we had another one. We showed up. Patient was there. We would start at CPR. This one really creeped me out. It was this one and one other one that really creeped me out in my 20-some years of doing this. I was doing the chest compressions, and my partner, who was paramedic, was starting to line and everything, you know, trying to get the IV. We already had the airway. We had somebody else bagging, so I'm doing CPR. And I could see from about right below the knees down, walking around us, I couldn't see the rest of the body. And I looked at the patient's legs, and they had the same scar on their leg that these other legs had. So they were actually walking around us while we were working this code. And I'm trying to keep my cool. And then I see the legs beside me, like they're kneeling. So I know what they were doing. They were looking at their body. And I'm doing CPR, and I'm sitting there going, if I look over my right shoulder and see a face up in my face, that's it. Check, please. I'm gone.
You know? I don't know if I should laugh or, like, cry. I mean, that's...
Well, that's true out-of-body experiences, and she's encountering it, and that's amazing.
You know, that one freaked me out, but it was towards the end of my career. I was already starting to have health issues. And the squad was going through changes, and the county was getting ready to buy, you know, take over the squad and everything. And we went to respond to a wreck. and it was a bat wreck. And the individual was DOA when we got there. They were still in the driver's seat, and they were DOA. And when I went to go check them, because, you know, first thing we do is we check everybody in the vehicle, and I could feel what's called steps in their neck, which is where you could feel that the neck is broke. And I just motioned to my partner, this one's gone. So he went to go get a sheet, because we were on the interstate. And so we had all these vehicles coming by us. And the whole time I'm standing there, I could hear her screaming in my ear. I could feel her breath on my neck. Do something. Why are you standing around? Help me, help me, help me. I was like, nope. That's when I decided. It was then that I decided. I've helped the living for so long. Mm-hmm. Okay, universe, I'm listening. Ancestors, okay, you're going to get your freaking way. Leave me alone. I will now help the dead.
Wow. But that's like a great, I guess, ending, kind of like, right?
Kind of. I mean, to this day, I'll see a fire truck rolling by, and I'm like, oh, you know,
yeah,
because I want to get on the fire truck.
That's strong validation of the other side, which leads me to a question.
Yeah.
Have you ever had someone that's crossed over in your dreams?
Good question.
I have, and those actually kind of scare me, because usually when that happens, a lot of the times it's not family. This is going to sound really, really bizarre. A lot of the times it's not family. It has been patients. And usually when I see them, they're actually warning me or telling me something that's about to happen. And it usually happens.
Wow.
I don't know why. It's the weirdest thing. But people like I'll warn my husband about something or warn my friends about something, and then it'll materialize. It'll happen. And they're like, oh, that was amazing. I was like, don't thank me. I'm just relaying a message. You know, yeah. I've had, some of these are pretty calm when I see them. Some of them are not. Without divulging too much, because, you know, I'm going to have other books and stuff coming out. But yeah, I had one in particular that shook me to my core. And to this day, I cannot explain it. But it happened on my 33rd birthday, and that was the shooting at Virginia Tech.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
And will this all be in your book?
Yes.
Okay.
All of this will be in my book, all in more greater detail. Now, the EMS calls, that's going to be, there might be a couple of them in the book, but I'm actually going to do another book later on.
Okay.
Of calls and experiences that we had and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay.
From an EMT and firefighter's perspective.
And your book is coming out in October, right? October?
Yes.
This year? Okay.
And yes.
I'm
sorry. I was just going to say, we don't have an exact date right now. We just know October. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Great.
Yeah. Dreams. You know, I'm one of those people that sometimes, maybe once every couple months, someone who's crossed over, a family member, cousin, relative,
good friend,
comes into the dream, and I'm like, you died, and they'll look at me like, what is death?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh yes,
it doesn't exist. What are you talking about?
And
I'm like, you look so good, and they'll bring me to a place that me and them knew.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we're just living, but we're living in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. You know, we watched this, me and my wife watched this movie a couple months ago, and it was about this young kid, and he was dying of cancer. and they revived him, and he crossed over at one point. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
And they asked him, what was it like when you died? You actually died. And he says, well, it's like when you stop at a stop sign in a car. Life is that quick. We just don't know it. And it made me think that in the dream, if a loved one's coming, is it actually an existence of a meeting of the souls, where the souls are actually doing their thing?
Yeah.
And there is no death to them. It's right. It's the journey of the souls, right? We're there with you.
Oh yes. Oh no, absolutely. And I agree. And it's just like, again, my buddy Loper from BPI and I, you know, we have these deep rooted conversations sometimes, and he's like, you know, what if when we die is actually when we're born and this was death? What if it was reverse?
You know, you something know? I have to say something. I'm a big advocate for near death experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of research, and I watch a lot of people that were clinically proven dead, doctors, mm-hmm. lawyers, yeah. and what she just said is true.
Yeah.
They say that's life.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. life. They say I have over, you can look at my page, anybody wants to look it up on Facebook, Philip Syracusa. There's a page just dedicated to near-death experiences.
There's a lot of
And they say that's living. That's real life. And they didn't want to come back into the body because they look at the body as a shell that they got to mm-hmm. stuff themselves back into, where when they're out of body, they can feel everything, the love, the pureness, the truth, the harmony. They can feel all of this. So, Gwen, I believe you're onto something there, that that's life. But yeah. they say that on these near-death experiences that we've chosen to do this. Yeah. So we've written this out this lifetime through an experience that we have to have. What's your thoughts mm-hmm. on that?
Well, I think that's actually quite feasible. Also, too, you look at different variations and stories of people talking about reincarnation. It was this one boy. He led the people. He told the people who he was before and led them to where he was buried. I can't remember where it was at, but nobody even knew this grave was there. And it just blew everybody's mind. And everything that he had said, they actually found evidence of by, you know, finding whatever it was that they found around the gravesite. But it actually corresponded with what this 4 or 5 year old kid was telling them.
Wow.
You know, how can a 4 or 5 year old kid know any of this? You know, so mm-hmm. I think with what you're talking about, I think it's just as feasible as reincarnation. I mean, yeah. I would love to say, well, none of us have been dead, so we don't know. On the contrary, I think most of us have been. We're just back around for a second, third, fourth time, you know?
I agree. And I believe in reincarnation because I remember at a young age, not now, but young age, I remember having deja vu, and mm-hmm. I was like, no, I have been here. I can, and I felt it. I was mm-hmm. there, but I couldn't understand it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I got to say, deja vu is one of the red flags of reincarnation. When, like you said, when you're standing there and you're like, I have been here before, and everybody in your family is looking at you like, fool, this is the first time we come here. You know, what are you talking about? That, or you smell something you've never smelled it before in this lifetime, but you know it. Mm-hmm. You know, the other
because that happened to me last month.
What?
You know, the other senses that you have too. It's not just standing somewhere physical and saying, oh, I've been here before. It's a familiar smell, but you have no explanation for. A familiar sound or song, but you have no explanation for. These are other elements that I think people need to consider when they come, when they have an experience like that, to go, huh, I wonder, you know, because it very well could be, it could have been from a previous life. It's just triggering it.
You know what? I think you just hit the nail on the head, because that happened to me about a month ago. I was in the yard. Everybody was out. You weren't home. And I smelled something, and I'm like, it reminds me of something, but I can't put, it's not around. It's nothing that I remembered in this lifetime. It wasn't like mom's perfume or grandma. And she's right. But it was from another time of me. And
that's what you thought?
Definitely. I felt it. Wow. I felt it. I felt it, you know, that this is another time. And I was really trying to comprehend it, but I couldn't comprehend it. And that it was gone. But I was thankful that I had that recollection of, maybe these are signs some of us get through this lifetime. It's like, hey, hold on to your tracks, because you've done this already.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, this ain't the first time on the road. You've done this already. Yep, we're just here to guide you and walk you through. And like Gwen said, sometimes the spirit, you know, whether it's a grandparent or cousin, or they're all, they watch over us at certain points till they feel like it's not time, you know, we progress.
You don't need them.
They don't need to be around as much. I think the spirit was around me saying, hey, this is a wake up call for you.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're you're wandering the truth, but here it is.
Yeah.
You're
welcome. Well, it's just a general observation of my experiences and speaking with other people. And because I'm no expert or nothing by no means. I just speak from experience and, you know, done what I've done. And also, too, I tell people, like, when they go to do a trade or a skill, let's say leather making, or they decide to go, you know, try their hand at blacksmith. I know some people, they would go to try blacksmith for the first time, natural. Like, everything was just gorgeous. And they're like, man, I just got lucky. I'm like, no. You've done this before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if something comes, quote, natural to you, chances are you've done it before.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. So then how would you say that with the new technology of the new age, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a person is born in the year 2000 and they want to get into technology that was not around 100 years ago. And when you said, well, they've done this before, is it possible they have, through another existence, another time, another era of another dimension? Is that possible?
Again, I think anything is possible when it comes to, you know, the spirit world or the different dimensions and everything. Because, again, one, it's not a science. Let's face it. Two, there's really no book to go by. Sure, people, you know, we have our own little guides and our own little ways of doing things. But there's no true protocol to go by. So it's for each and own's discernment what something means, because an experience to me could be completely different for what it means to you and have completely two different meanings and two different paths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think anything is possible. Anything is possible. I try to stay very open-minded with it. When it comes to any of that, because we do not know the answers. We don't know all the answers. And the day that we do, well, that's just going to be the end of us, because there's no rhyme or reason for us to be hanging around.
That's true.
We're not going to know until
that's true. And I think it's this, what she's saying and what I've heard is it's the soul's existence of what that soul's went through that soul remembers that time, that era.
Exactly. That yeah.
Definitely.
And it kind of brings me to like the city of Atlantis. Some people say it existed. Some people say it don't. But there was an advanced civilization with technology. So are we just uncovering ourselves from way back? Our soul, right?
Right.
It's fascinating.
So you know, if we believe everything that we are taught as it is on face value, whether it be history, your science, your biology, whatever it is, if we just believe what we are taught on face value and don't continue to ask questions, then we will never discover what else happened before that. Mm-hmm. There was always something before. It's just like, you know, talking about Atlantis. Some people believe in it, some people do not. Well, I mean, you can't really honestly think that the civilizations that we are aware of that have been here before us for thousands of years, how do we know that there was nothing pre-existing them? We only know what we know because of searching, looking, digging, continuing to ask, you know, questions. That's the only way that all this stuff was discovered.
That's
so
true.
So I think that if people keep asking questions and keep looking, that they will find more answers, and they'll probably be very surprised how old the Earth really is. I think it's a whole lot older than what we think.
Probably.
I definitely agree with you.
And there's layers and layers and layers of history underneath your feet.
Yeah.
This is true. This is true. And it could be our own bones from past lives.
Can you imagine?
Well, look, there's different parts of different countries that there's catacombs of skulls. Mm-hmm. And who's to say? Right?
It's true.
I mean, you know, my skull could be in there hanging out with y'all's for all I know. I mean, I don't know.
I'm a strong believer that we come into this life in soul groups, the people in our lives. And yes. I'm also a believer in, even though it's a little bit off topic, you know, I'm big onto the aliens because even though it's off topic, you know, now slowly all the governments are slowly coming forward. And what I'm trying to say is that the advanced technology that we have and what they're saying is, well, they can't identify what, you know, the speed of some of these crafts that do go underwater and above water.
Mm-hmm.
That it's impossible. It defies the laws of physics.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, then, if that's true and it is coming out soon, you know, how much truth they're going to tell and what they really know. But that tells me that, okay, we're not being told everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of makes me glad I'm in paranormal because you need to have an open mind and take in the knowledge from people like yourself and understand that there's more to what you're being told and learning through schools and colleges. There's more to this whole
absolutely
of us as a people. There's more to this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you open your mind, you will observe. And then I believe that those that have crossed over can now come through and show you, hey, it doesn't end like you think it ends.
It's true.
Yeah, because it's a very good point that you made to talk about the technology that they have and everything and all now, because it tickles me when I hear people talk about aliens and you have, you know, people that believe and people that don't believe, you know, and, you know, c'est la vie, it is what it is. I don't judge either way, but it kills me when I hear people say, well, the government says they don't exist. Well, darling, if you believe that the government spent $3,000 on that toilet seat over there, then you're really in for a surprise. You know, I was like, really? You know, I think it is part of what you were saying, Phil, that because of the advancements and everything, but also, I think it's part of the advancements of the people. They have more tools now. It's called the internet, and they're able to find out more stuff. So it's getting, and there's more sightings and more people are coming out about their experiences, and it's getting, whether if you believe or not, and it's getting harder and harder for them to suppress the information.
That's true. That is so true. And, you know, I was just watching this thing on the news. Now they say, there is an Area 51. Well, for years and years, they denied the existence of Area 51. And now they're saying, yeah, well, that's where we work on our you know, our military jets. Yeah. Well, but you denied it for how many years?
Exactly.
So, it's like a whole other show.
Right?
No, but,
I know.
And that's the point, Gwen, is that we all need, like yourself and me and Julie, you need open minds and believe that, you know, we're not being told everything. There's so much that we have to learn.
Very true.
There is no expert, whether it's paranormal or, mm-hmm. but I could tell you that we've learned a lot, right?
Yeah.
And Gwen's very, very knowledgeable.
She is
because,
very knowledgeable.
She just hit things that ring true to my life.
Y'all just called me smart.
Yeah, it ring true to my life of what I'm dealing with. So Gwen, really quick, as we're coming to the end of the show, how would you tell people, that the listener out there, hey, if you want to contact a loved one, this is what you should do. Can you give us some pointers?
Oh, absolutely. Sit in a room quietly and clear your mind. Push out everything that you've been told and just shut your mouth and open your mind and your heart. Seriously, it's not that hard, folks.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. Everybody, I have said from the word go, I believe that everybody has the ability to communicate with the afterlife. We just choose not to as we grow older. The reason why I say I believe everybody has the ability, everybody has what we know as the sixth sense, your gut.
Oh,
if the hairs on the back of your neck is standing up, or if you feel like somebody's watching you, guess what, darling? It's because they are.
Very true.
I agree.
Well, Gwen, thank you so much for
coming
on.
Yeah, this has been a great show. Very knowledgeable.
We really, really appreciate it. And where can everybody find you? And what do you have?
Well, first off, thank you for having me. Everybody can find everything that they may want to look at on perfecttrustproductions.com. On that website, it will also show you the BPI website, Vanessa Hogel's website. You can get to all of our social links. Our online shop, our Redbubble, everything, our YouTube, everything is on perfecttrustproductions.com. Right now, we are working on trying to get to Scotland to film Hidden Gems Scotland. This is going to be a little bit of a bigger production. Hello, big words. Than what Hidden Gems Ireland was. We actually have some interesting people lined up that hopefully we're going to be able to speak with. We have some professors and all that we've been contacting and everything. So this is going to be an interesting piece. And we're looking forward to being a champion of the innocents. And we might even make some enemies, because there's probably going to be some people that ain't going to like us too much, because we're going to do a lot of myth busting.
There's always, always some of that. But Gwen, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you all. Yes, I appreciate it.
And we also want to thank Carnation for sponsoring the show. And again, you guys can join us every Monday at 7 CT and 8 EST, coming live from United Public Radio on 107.7 FM and 105.3 FM from New Orleans. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. We'll catch you next week, Close Flight Chronicles Radio. Stay tuned for the next show with Lorelei. The Angel Rock. Everyone, be safe. Have a great week. And remember, open minds, the curiosity brings knowledge.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Gwen.
Thank y'all. Good night.
What if the forecast predicted high winds 10 times the speed of sound?